So he does. Last week we had Armed Forces Day, and next weekend coming up is Memorial Day. A lot to do about the price paid for our country and the type of country, type of culture that we have is fast eroding, and they're trying to take it away from us. We have a message this morning about digging wells, and we'll relate that to things that we need to do. And you heard the scripture read. Abraham was not a very, I don't know how you say it, punchback guy. He'd dig a well and they'd stop it up, and he'd just go dig another well. They'd stop that one up, he'd go dig another one. There is some value to people like that, but we need to punch back on some of these things that they're taking away from us, and some of the traditions and documents that were precious to us. When you stop and think that Pennsylvania allowed the Supreme Court and a governor of this state to just completely dismantle everything and have their way about the ballot counting and all that. They had stated, the General Assembly had stated that there'd be no ballots accepted after a certain time on Tuesday. And the governor and the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania decided that they would just do it their way. And so the cowards in the House and Senate haven't done anything about it. About one man, Mastriano, standing, and that's probably dirty to his name. We don't know if we get elected governor or not. They're trying to do something like that. But we need to stand for something or fall for anything, right? And we also need to keep digging wells as well. Water is a very, very needed resource. When people came to this land, what we call America, when they found the Indians, they found them along the rivers and streams, because that's where the water was, where they'd catch fish, get water to drink, because they needed water. Water's a life-giving source. 60% of your body is water. Think of that. 73% of your heart is water. And 83% of your lungs is water. You can live without food. I think they said 40 days, 40 nights. You can't live that long without water. You can't live very long without air either. But water is a needed source to mix with the blood. If you're healthy, that means a healthy body, you can live 3 days without water. So that's pretty important. It was a necessity that brought the woman to the well that day when Jesus met her. It was a meeting place, because that's where people went to get that life-giving source. And Jesus said unto her in the course of that long conversation, now not getting that this morning, but he said, whosoever drinks this water thirst again. That's why you have to keep coming back. I think a lot of the sicknesses that we have today is because we drink everything but water. And water is a needed life source in our body. But he said, whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So my point is, it's very important. And so we want to use that as a subject for things that are important in America. Notice how in this scripture, if you go on and read more, that land was very dry in that part of the world. I've visited that. Jacob's well is an important resource still today. And it was very dry. In chapter 6 and verse 1, it says there was a famine in the land. because the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Amalek, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. Now, we're living in a spiritually dry land in America. The pandemic has brought us fearing everything but God, and we're running to everything but God. We're trusting the science and not trusting God, and we're not getting any better off. The science hadn't given us much. It hadn't brought many answers to our problems. Only God can solve the sin problem. And I firmly believe the pandemic was allowed by God. You've heard me say this before, or sent upon us because of our sins and our evil deeds. The immorality, the corruption, the garbage, and that's still going on. They started this week working on Fulton County, Georgia, because they now uncovered new evidence about the corruption in the election. And the part that makes me more angry than anything else is people won't say anything. They're just letting it slide. And preachers have refused to stand up and call it out from their pulpits and be a force, be a leading force. When General Washington was fighting for this ground, when he was fighting for this to free us from the British and what they were trying to do to us, he called on everybody. The preachers laid down their Bibles on their pulpit, picked up their rifles, and went out and became, and some of them were some of the great generals in the army. But today, we hear this kind of talk. Oh, you got to have separation of church and state. That's not the way the Constitution's read. The Constitution's read that we need God. That we need God. Without God, we want a country, one nation under God, not under a Supreme Court. And now they're wanting to appoint more people on there so they can have their way and do what they want and hide it. And we go on stumbling around trying to figure out what's wrong. But the land was very dry. It's dry today. Dry from the gospel. We got everything. We got every kind of toy. We got every kind of equipment. We got all kinds of planes. We got those ones that fly without a pilot. You fly them from a computer on the ground. But we don't have any peace with God. We don't have the peace of God. We're living a nation that's fighting and fussing about what color you are and who you are. And if we got enough money from the enslavement and reparations and on the list goes. And we're supposed to stand back and swallow all that stuff. I never owned a slave. My kids think grandkids think I fought in the Civil War. They say to me, Pap, when you were in the Civil War, I said, well, I was not there. Maybe my spirit was there some. But the land was filled with all kinds of problems. Number two, Isaac had enemies in the land. Obviously, every time he'd dig a well, he redug up some his father had made, Abraham. Well, then these Philistines come along and stop it up again. As I said earlier, then he'd move on and dig another well. But let me equate that to what's going on today. We had some values when I was growing up. They were important. And if you didn't follow and adhere to them, now, you guys hang on to your seat. Buckle up and don't run and leave me. But I can remember when the sheriff of our county would arrest women for wearing shorts in town. Hello? I can remember those days. I can remember my dad, I've shared this with you before, I think. We'd be downtown on business, and I'm with him walking along, and a lady would be coming, and it didn't matter whether she was black or white. My dad would take his hat, tip it, and we'd step off the sidewalk. Things were important back then. They were drilled into us. You did those things. You didn't cheat. You didn't lie. You didn't steal. And if you did, you confessed up and took your beating. And it was pretty severe. We had a culture. And there were certain words you didn't use in public. They were words that were offensive. Now they've changed our whole vocabulary to we can't say any words that we should be saying. We've substituted words. We're not even down to saying he and she. We're down to saying something else. Who knows what? We're just going crazy with the changes of taking our culture that was sacred and written in stone in our hearts and our minds. And our preachers and our teachers and our churches believed it, and they made us adhere to it. And if you got in trouble in the classroom, you got your knuckles whacked with a ruler. You ever have that done? Or you'd be going along, sitting in your seat, whispering something in the buddy's ear in front of you, and all of a sudden your ear would get flicked with a big finger. And boy, did it ever sting. You didn't run home and tell Mom and Dad, because they didn't want to know what you was doing, and then you get another whipping from that. But the land is full of enemies. We got enemies destroying our culture, raising our young people to believe things that are crazy. We now don't know you can have a birth certificate, but wait till you're 20 years old and decide whether you're a man or a woman. Whoever thought we'd be that crazy? Not know yourself. And just because somebody would tell you something and you did something different. The enemies are about us. They're within us. Many of them stand in our pulpits and preach the same garbage. They're in our schools. They're in our government. They're all around us. They're growing. Paul warned Timothy, in the last days, you need to preach, because the day will come when they'll have itching ears and they'll believe the lies. And we're there. We're there. And all we hear is about science. What has science got us? It's got us a lot of things. Some of them might be useful, but sure creating a lot of problems, aren't they? Isaac dug wells again. As I said, he was a man, kind of didn't resist too much. He just went on, did what he was supposed to do. And one point about him, we need to do the same thing. Just because the enemy's saying, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't have church there, and you can't say God, and you can't pray, and you can't wear a t-shirt that says John 3:16 on it, we need to dig in that well. We need to dig that well deeper. We need to dig more in things of God and let our young people know that's what we believe. And when somebody says nasty stuff, slap the taste out of their mouth, I guess. It says in Genesis 26:18, and Isaac digged the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of father is Abraham. What our fathers thought was important and sacrificing for and taking a stand for, we need to. In the days of Abraham, his father, but the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. They didn't go about changing the language and saying, oh, we don't use that term anymore. We use this term. We use that term. Enemies had destroyed them. They had destroyed their way of life. And Abraham was trying to move and salvage what God had gave Isaac, I mean, what Abraham his father gave him, and continue in that. But the things our parents, oh, we don't live that way. I've never seen such weak generation. Our fathers, grandfathers, would follow a mule and a plow all day and still be in Sunday school and church. We got generation now, oh man, I had to work all weekend. Well, God help your sweet little heart. That's what you're supposed to do, is work all day. That's why we're in trouble. Get on a tractor now and just sit and look at the gauges. Don't even turn the steering wheel. Just watch it go. No, I'm tired. I've been working all day. Oh, we've done a lot of things. We've made it look good. We've been to the moon and back and can't even get to church. That's pretty nice, isn't it? We can go everywhere. Oh, they're having this and they're having that. We're going to have something else over here. Oh, I got to go there. I can't be in church. I got to be there. I got to see this. I got to see that. Everything. And he said in the last days, men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We arrived, folks. We arrived. As I preached last Sunday, you know, we don't have any money to give the church because we had to buy some more toys. Got to have another this kind of rifle. Got to have another this kind of car. Got to have another this kind of ATV. Got to have another this kind of trip. And got to go here. And got to go there. I'll tell you, there are not many places outside of the United States and some places there I don't want to go to. It's getting pretty rough out there. We need to step back and make the changes that our parents made. They came here and fought for the ground, gave their lives and their last sacred things that they had. They gave up so that we would have a nation, one nation under God, and gave us a constitution. And those people down there, those eggheads, are ripping it apart. They don't know what it says, and they don't care what it says. They just want to change it. And we've got Arabs down there running it, three women that are making more of a mess than anybody else. They're Arabs, and they didn't come here to find new life. They come here to make us look like them. Well, go back where you came from, amen? If you don't like the way we got it, it cost us something. And it deserves something. They want to live like that. Well, why did you leave where you were? This country, listen to me, has done more to protect women than any country I know. And those countries make them cover up their head and everything else. It'd be better if they'd cover up something else, but some of them do, I guess. But we got enemies. Do you understand that? They're enemies, that's just, and their aim is not to be like us. I get so sick and tired of hearing this moderate Arabs. They're not moderate. They're just playing cool till they get in and get what they want to, and then we're done. They're not coming here to better their life. They're coming here to take what you got. And then where are we going to be? And we're getting there now. And they still can't stop the coming across the border. They keep jumping and jumping and jumping, coming in. Now, I think some of them on Biden's team is saying, well, Trump was right. We do need a wall. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, everything you read about got a wall. You got a fence around your house, or you got a lock on your door. That's your property. What makes us so silly to believe such stuff? Then they want to show us these pictures of these kids. Well, who brought those kids up here? They didn't come from us. Number four, Isaac and all of his digging finally found a spring of living water, it says, in chapter 26, verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Coming up, bubbling water. We need to dig and dig and dig and dig until we get to the spring of living water that only Jesus Christ can give. We need to have God back in our schools. We need to have God dominating our governments and praying before each session and believing that God has anointed governments and that we should allow God to be a part of the government and telling us what to do. The enemy set out to destroy the spring of living water. They don't want us to mention Jesus Christ today. They don't want us to say his name. They don't want us to say, it's all right as long as you say God, because everybody's got some kind of God. But let's define it, Jesus Christ. Oh, well, I don't know who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. The trouble is they don't know that. He said, I and my Father are one. There's people sitting in the church don't understand that Jesus is very God in the flesh. He became God when he was born of Mary. He was God and became flesh, became incarnate. Think about how our founding fathers came to America to build churches and spread the gospel. You know where the major part of the hospitals started in this country? That's why they're named today after some church. You go to the Presbyterian Hospital down in Pittsburgh. Baptist hospitals all over the South. Who did that? Who did that? Now, we don't want God, we want the science. They wanted a place where you could go and medically get help from God. But we've just run out of God. No wonder God's given up on us. No wonder God has left us, because we left God out. We read, God bless America. Or God will bless America when America blesses God again. But we're so busy blessing ourselves and kicking God out. We've kicked him about everything that is left. We've kicked him out of the churches. When we got homosexual preachers preaching in the pulpits. Hello? And our kids get an education, they're so confused they don't know straight up and straight down because we teach them such crazy, stupid stuff. Do you have feelings within that you might be in a woman's body? I never had any feeling like that, did you? I have no feeling like that. And if you do, I'm sorry. You need to get down on your knees until you get a feeling like a man, if you're a man, and if you're a woman, like you're a woman, and say, God, I accept who I am. There's things about all of us that I wished I was bigger here and smaller there and littler here and had more hair there and on and on and on. But that don't change our sexuality. God created man and woman and nothing else. And from there, the creation would multiply. Even the animals know better than that. You don't see them run after them. If they do, you better shoot them and bury them. And my family didn't swing from no tree. I don't know about yours. Mine came from my ancestors. My ancestors fought in every war that we've had to defend it from the enemies. And we need to keep doing that. So, Isaac just kept digging wells. All right, I've run into a problem and that's been destroyed. The government says I can't do this and can't do that. Yet, listen to me. The government has a setup. They have a setup. How many things are we doing because we think the government says we have to? So when it comes to, and we're almost in the tribulation, we won't have any trouble. The government's telling us now we got to take a shot. You got to take one every so often afterwards, right? Well, when they come and say, okay, you got to take a mark, well, I guess I got to do that too. You can't eat, you can't buy, you can't sell. So do that too. You see how they have it set up? The devil's already at work, folks. And if we can't say no now, we'll not say no then. when they got a gun to our head or a knife to our throat. I'm telling you. You see the move. It's on the way. And we're just following like a bunch of goats to a slaughter. Just walking along. Okay, that's what we got to do. And, you know, I don't like everything Biden is doing, but I just couldn't take all that other rough stuff. Well, get out of here and go over there to one of those other countries. Genesis chapter 26, verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water's ours. That sounds like those people telling us, oh, we helped, we built this country. You didn't build this country. And they called the well the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Just keep digging wells. Just keep on digging the truth of God's word. You know, we need to dig in this book right here. We need to get into it and get it into us. We need to know what God says. God says, and they said in Acts, if God tells us one thing and you tell us another, which one do you think we're going to do? They beat him. They beat him. Some of them they killed. Paul was a part of the crowd. Then that was killing them. They stoned them. They went on and on and on. But they stood for God. This crowd today won't stand for anything. What's going to happen when they come down and say, we're locking this place up because the stuff you're preaching is not there? By the way, I met another radio listener one day this week. Stopped at a station and gave a lady a kind word. She said, your voice sounds familiar. And I said, she said, who are you? She said, I listen to you on the radio. I said, well, good. Keep praying. We need to keep digging wells. Keep digging wells. They stop that one up. Go to another one. Go to another one. Go to another one. Keep on doing it. We did that. Now we've done enough. We've not done enough. We need to keep on keeping on and quit wishing for ourselves. We want everything for us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and getting the gospel out. Well, I want this and I want that. And Isaac, and he removed from thence and digged another well. Just keep on digging wells. They say you can't do it. Pass out another track. Give another prayer. Call on God. Keep on keeping on. For the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. If this land's going to be blessed, listen to me. It's not going to be the big show me churches that put on a show every Sunday morning with a bunch of people and all the things of God. It'll be the people that will get out and make a stand for Christ in the rural area. For the Lord hath made room for us, and we will be fruitful. Okay, let's think about all this. We need to keep digging wells and building altars. What did he say in Genesis 26, verse 24? And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there. Do you have an altar? I'm not asking, did you build a fancy wooden or something else? Do you have a place, a quiet place, a place where you gather with your family? You won't answer the phone. Do you have a place where you get on your knees and you read a portion of the scripture and you call upon God and ask him to give you direction and give you light amid this crazy, crazy time. You spend time alone with God in the Word. You let Him talk to you. Do you know the voice of God? When you're thinking about making a major decision and you hear a voice say, go ahead and do it. And this voice says, are you able to distinguish between the voices? If you don't become acquainted with God through His Word, this is the living Word of God. This is the best well that we have. We need to dig into this well. Let me ask you some questions in closing this morning. How deep is your well? Notice Isaac had to redig those wells. And of course, the dry weather, and they filled them up with dirt again. He had to dig deeper. You have to dig deeper and deeper. We could trust the school. We could trust everybody out there that was working in some position. We could send our kids to the school and not worry about it. Now we don't know if they're going to get raped or what's going to happen to them. How deep is your well? How deep is your faith? How deep is your love for God? How much do you really love Him? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself, as the manner of some is, one of His commandments. Don't rob me of my money that I let you have for a while. We saw that last week, didn't we? Get off of that, John. Too much of that. People don't like to hear it. Are you trying to dig new wells? Are you trying to share the gospel with other people at work, in your neighborhood, or wherever you go? Do you keep going deeper for that? Are you helping people dig wells when your neighbors or your friends or somebody's went through a major crisis or is going through one? Do you say, how can I help you? How can I help you? The Bible says, do good to all men, especially unto the brothers of faith. Especially to those of the household of faith. God says, people say, well, people in church sometimes are hard to get along. You're not just a kid. I've been at it for over 50 years, and I've seen that. And we see somebody off yonder, and we say, oh boy, that'd be a good place. Let me tell you something. You work with people long enough, you'll find that there's good and bad people everywhere you go. You'll find there's things wrong everywhere you go. You either roll up your sleeves and help, or you just sit back and gripe, or you get out, one or the other. It takes a loving heart to love people. No wonder the Bible says God so loved the world. Not the creation that He made, but the people that He put on it. And I'm got to tell you this, God made the grouchy ones. God made the bad ones. God made the good ones. God made the fat ones. God made the bald ones. God made them all. You got to love them all. You got to love every one of them. Are you looking for ministry to help those kind of people? What can I do to help you? Oh, I just thought I'd pray with you. I'll pray for you. Bye, bye, bye. That's a phrase that's used over and over. I'm praying for you. Well, what are you praying? When do you pray? Maybe God's going to put feet on the prayers and put them on you. The two women knew each other, grew up together down south. And one of them moved away, and she went back to visit her friend. Been a long time. And they sit down to eat their evening meal, and right across the road was a bar. And they were carrying on, throwing people out and cursing. She said, oh my, that's terrible. Do you have to live like that, by that place? She said, yeah, it is terrible. She said, I pray, but nothing happens. She said, well, let's pray again. So they got down on their knees and prayed, and they went to bed. Next morning, they lived there, got up and looked out, and the place was burned to the ground. She said, my goodness, I've been praying and praying, and you pray one night, and it's happened. She said, honey, sometimes you got to put feet on your prayers. I think there's a song about that. They burned the old roadhouse down or something. But how deep is your well? How deep is your love? How deep is your commitment? How deep is your stick-to-itiveness? How deep? How deep? When my brother was in Korea and he came back, I was talking to him. I said, how did you keep going? He said, there wasn't any way to go that way. The only way to go was toward the enemy. That's the only direction I could go. How deep? How deep is that commitment? And I said I would do it. People need this living water. People need the Lord Jesus. People need Him more than they need another job, more than they need money, more than they need the things that people are saying. They're talking about trillions of dollars now to give out to people. Trillions of dollars. And now they can't figure why people don't want to go to work. They're going to pay you to sit home and go by the, do whatever you do. How deep is your well? Do you have a well? Are you digging in a place right here to start in the Bible? The Word of God. God, this is my well, and I'm going to dig in it and dig in it and dig in it and keep digging until God calls me home. I don't know. I don't have God here. I don't have Christ here, but I have them both here when I have the Bible. Jesus said, I am the Word. He's the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the way I talk to Jesus and get to know Him is in here. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God, we're reeling and rocking from the ravages of sin and hurts, many we know about. Some we don't, perhaps. And God, you're the only answer. And many are turning to many other things and directions. Many are giving up. Many are saying there's no use. Many are saying they quit. Oh God, help me never to get so faint-hearted and so weak I give up. Help me to keep on keeping on. Help me to keep the main thing the main thing. God, I pray for our church. I pray in all of our doing that we don't give up on Christ. I pray that there be one among us today that is without Christ, that this would be the day, this would be the moment they would trust Him. I pray, Lord, there would be new commitments made from our people to dig stronger and deeper in the wells that have been stopped up, that government can't stop us from praying. The government can't stop us from having church when we want to, outside, inside, wherever we want to have it. God, give us committed people to do the great work that you called. And Lord, for those who seem a little weak, like Isaac, let them go dig another well. Dig another well. Dig another, dig more wells. But the spring of the living water, Jesus Christ. While the piano plays for a couple moments, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and if He comes tonight, today, tomorrow, you're ready to go because you're saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor Hodge. I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. you may put them down. If you are not sure, you're not 100% sure, you don't even know all this talk. It's foreign to you about a well. I don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor Oz. You got to get in the Word. You got to get saved. You say, if I die tonight, I don't know where I'd be in the morning. Please pray for me, Pastor Oz. Just put your hand up and put it down. Pray for me. If you're not sure whether you're saved or not, I want to pray for you. I'm not setting any traps. I'm just going to pray for you. Well, dear Lord, we pray for all in the house. As we sing our closing hymn, Lord, we pray that any need to come to the altar yet now, they would make a move for God. In Christ's name, amen. What number are we singing? I surrender all. 496. 496. When Brother Gary Dole came here to preach, he really whipped my hide good. I had got to the place where people were saying to me, you know, you just got to accept the way you are. And there was a voice in me that kept saying, you don't have to accept this. And Gary has taken me on as a special project. He calls me or texts me about every day, tells me he's praying for me. And we found out that new thing going down to a week from this Wednesday, going down to Pittsburgh for another esophagus cleaning out. Then we'll stay overnight on Thursday. We're meeting a team, four people. They told us they didn't have any such thing before, but all of a sudden, when we found out there were people, now they have it. The team, they can put that thing in your mouth, that prosthesis, or they can put the shot in. Now, not everybody's a candidate. May not be a candidate. But in the meantime, I found out I'm a wounded veteran, as you know. Walter Reed has a whole department that does nothing but that. And so there's still some more steps to be taken. I'm asking for your prayers. I'm asking for your continued support. You know, the only other option people gave me, I told you down in Tercy, was go ahead and take my voice box out, and you don't know if you're going to talk or talk right after that. And I just couldn't go that route. So keep praying, and I'm keep trying. I'm getting my neck worked on a little bit. I got some of it moving up, so I may be worse than Jack. My whole head will shake, not just my hand. But in the meantime, let's pray. Let's pray for one another. Let's love one another. Let's help one another. And this car show, we need all my hands on board. By maybe next week sometime, we'll get a list up of where to work, where you can help. We had a I guess I can tell you his name, Ryan, old radio station. He donated close to 100 pounds of meat in there, Trudy. I guess. Steaks, spare ribs. I'm still praying maybe I can eat by then. I love spare ribs, long ribs. They got New York steaks all in that box. I don't know who's going to get to eat it, whoever comes, I guess. But God's good to us. God's so good to us. You remember back, what's it been, a month ago or 2 months when a guy walked in the door and said, I want to see John Hodge. And his check for, I think it was $2,600, wasn't it? God just keeps blessing us, keeps giving me at least signals and saying, I'm not done with this place, and I'm not done with you. I want things done. And you look like you want to get them done. So we need to quit looking to the right and the left and roll up our sleeves and jump in it and get with it. Amen? If I can't lead the horse, then I'll get behind and push him or something. Thanks for coming. Don't forget we have our service tonight. Good to see all of you. God bless each of you. I pray for you. I love you. Let's keep marching on. Is Brother Wood back there somewhere? He was our deacon. He had our prayer early. Would you have our closing prayer?